This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to bite into Nerds gummy clusters? They're fruity. They're tangy. They're gummy. And they're crunchy. Nerds gummy clusters, a union of fruity sweet gummy and tangy crunchy nerds. Unleash your senses. Shop now at nerdscandy.com.
Life is a highway. And on it, there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
From BBC Science Focus magazine, this is Instant Genius, a bite-sized masterclass in podcast form. I'm Alex Hughes, staff writer at BBC Science Focus magazine. This week, we're talking about AI art. In the past year, we've seen the internet flooded with a new type of art, but it isn't made by humans. Thanks to AI-powered software, anyone can create images based just on a worded prompt. Want a cartoon of a cat fighting a dinosaur? Easy. Need to see two teddy bears in Paris in the style of a rom-com poster? It's just one click away. But how does this all work? And what does it mean for the future of art and the artists creating it? I'm joined by Ahmed Elgamal to discuss this topic. He's the founder of the AI art tool, Playform, and a professor of computer science at Rutgers University. In this episode, he explores everything from how AI art platforms are trained through to its effect on the art world and its lack of truly creative understanding. So I imagine by now a lot of people have tried out an AI image generator in some form or seen how they work. But what is the, I guess, the actual process of AI creating an image? When I search a prompt, what's actually happening?
I would like to start by a little bit of history behind that. How AI generate images. About 5-6 years ago, there was some advancement in AI called generative adversarial networks, GANs, where you can give it some images and it can try to generate more images similar to what you give it. So you give it images of cats, it can give you images of more cats. So that makes a revolution of using artificial intelligence in image generation, and many artists and creative take notice and start using that. However, there was some issue of how can you control the AI generation. So here came another generation of image generator that use text to generate images. We can debate about whether this is a good choice or not. We can discuss this. But how this work? Basically, these models are trained on lots of images and their text caption. So it tries to understand how the text caption relate to the images. So when you have an image of a bird on a tree, then try to guess what is the image, where is the tree and where is the bird. And doing that from billions of images, it tried to figure out which part of the image relate to which words. So now, after training these models on billions of images for hours and days and weeks, if we give it a text, it will first analyze the text using the same way ChatGPT and other language model analyze text to come up with mathematical representation of this sentence you give it. And then it tries to correlate every word with where in the image that relates to, based on what it has seen in all this data it trained on. And it will try to generate an image basically based on this sentence.
And I think people that have seen the work that's come from AI art, a lot of it looks incredible. It looks incredibly realistic. But I'm interested by what it is that stops it achieving, I guess, more complicated shapes. There's a lot of times where hands, you know, there'll be an extra finger or there'll be a nose flying out of someone's ear or something. I'm curious why there's certain parts that it really struggles with.
Definitely. This model still struggles with small details. Anything that has small details, it will have a hard time generating, because basically the way these models are trained, they are trained to optimize some what's called loss function, which is basically a criteria that it try to optimize. And usually this criteria is all over the image. So I try to get most of the image correct. So when you try to get most of the image correct, you kind of neglect small details. The AI will try to get most of the image correct, but there are some small details that we as human are very tuned to catch, like a hand with four fingers or a three-legged person or a face that has a strange or asymmetric features. We are very good at catching that. However, for the AI, it really doesn't know the difference between these small details and any other small details in the background or in an irrelevant area that we as human cannot notice. So the current generation of these models struggle with that because this is the way it was trained. But I'm sure in the next few months, you will come up with new models that have been trained to take into consideration these small details that are important to human, like where are the hands, the bows, the face. All these are important, and the model can add that into the optimization. So the criteria will now capture these issues.
And we're talking a lot about the training here, which, as you mentioned, is based on, you know, millions and millions of images. I'm curious what that's like in terms of an energy consumption kind of situation. Is it most of the energy for these is generated in the training process, and then when you're actually doing searches, it's heavily decreasing from that point on, or is it a constant similar output?
Definitely training the AI, these models, it takes a lot of energy. You need to run this on GPUs for days and weeks, over billions of images, and probably you have to rerun it many, many times to optimize the process and get satisfactory results. However, even after training these models to be able to generate an image, these models need to be running on a GPU, what's called a graphical processing unit, which is a specialized piece of hardware that are typically used for gaming. It has millions of, actually thousands of processors, small processors. And these are very energy-consuming devices. And running this model to generate require that you run these GPUs. And if you are serving thousands of users, you need to have multiple of these GPUs running 24 hours. And that definitely has a significant energy consumption and environmental impact.
And when we're doing these training processes, I think something that OpenAI discussed quite openly when they were working on their DALL-E project was the issues of, I guess, biases or incorrect information or a tendency to lean into certain cultures that would leak in from the information they were collecting from. Is there a better solution to that problem? Is it a case of needing a list of, I guess, approved content that's been looked through or that covers a base of different cultures and beliefs?
That's a very important issue. How can we control the data given into the AI? And that's very critical because there are different opinions in the world about everything, politics, religion, life, style of life, everything. So we cannot censor the data that are given to the AI to weigh certain voices more or less. That's very unfair. I think AI naturally has to reflect different opinions in the world, different viewpoint in the world, different culture, different religion, different political views. And AI has to learn on all that. We cannot really censor that out. This will come with a lot of misinformation that we live in. That's a part of our life. The same way we look at your feed in a social media platform and you can filter out or kind of guess that this is false information or this is true information, we have to be trained that AI can generate false information because this is how it works. It really digests what we give it and re-rendered it in its language. So we should not take whatever AI gives us as truth. It's basically a rendering of what's out there in a new way. it can be valid, it can be misvalid. This is how we can look at AI generation. AI right now has no way to tell facts from fiction. For it, everything is just words. And once we start talking about facts, that's a big problem. What are the facts and what are the opinions? That's really a harder thing to do.
I think one of the, I guess, other big issues that's been raised a lot is around the rules and regulations of how this technology can be used, you know, in terms of who owns copyright, who owns the images that were put into it originally. And I guess it's the use of it when it's monetized. It's, I guess you could say it's, you know, a sort of a Wild West situation right now. Do you think this is something that laws will clamp down on over time, or is it kind of at its peak when it's unregulated?
The copyright issue is a new issue that comes with the current generation of image generators that are mainly trained on billions of images. However, this issue was not the case a couple of years ago when artists used to have to use AI through certain models like GANs, where you can actually train your own model using your own images. So the copyright issue was not that big at the time. The copyright issue comes now with the fact that you're training this model on billions of images taken from the internet without consent consent of the artist or the people who make the images. And now you can regenerate these images or regenerate a pastiche of these images, a mix of these images. And that is very problematic because in one sense, it's unethical. In the other sense, is it is not violating the copyright law because what you're generating is usually a transformative version of the image, not a direct derivative. So it, under any copyright law, usually this will not be a problem, but it's unethical still. So this is a big problem because now the copyright issue is a three-party problem. You have the person who generating the image might be violating the copyright of some other artist that he doesn't know about. And then the third party in this is the developer of the AI, the company who developed the AI and trained that system based on these images, how that it causes a problem. So it's a three-way copyright problem now, which is a very new situation. It's a big problem, and I don't think the copyright laws right now is capable of doing anything about it. And there are some initiatives to clean up the data set and that are used for training and use artist consent and things like that. But it's I hardly see how this would work when you're talking about billions of images. The latest data set that have been used to train these models are like 5 billion images, and probably soon we're going to see more than that. There are some incentives to ignore this problem from these big companies who train these models, and from some users who use these models, very, very happy about being able to generate images in the style of their favorite artist, and they cannot get caught. So it's causing a mess, basically, at this point. However, I have to remind everybody that this is not the way it's supposed to be. You can use AI to generate images by training it using your own data and your own images without having to violate things. And even I have concern about these text prompting as a way to communicate with AI system. Is it the best way to generate an image to tell the AI what you want using text? Is it what the artist wants? Maybe consumer would like to do that. Somebody who's not an artist would like to generate an image, need to write down a text to describe what he wants. But an artist wouldn't do that. Artists are visual thinker. Artists prefer to think visually, not through text. The fact that you want to describe what the art will look like is very foreign for an artist. That's not how artists work. So that fact of controlling the generation using text has many problems. Copyright is one of them. But as a creative process, it's also very, very unnatural and very restricting for many artists. I see it as a consumer-facing technology more than artist-facing technology. And these problems with copyright is really fundamental.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Want a website with unmatched power, speed, and control? Try Bluehost Cloud, the new web hosting plan from Bluehost. Built for WordPress creators by WordPress experts. With 100% uptime, incredible load times, and 24/7 WordPress priority support, your sites will be lightning fast with global reach. And with Bluehost Cloud, your sites can handle surges in traffic no matter how big. Plus, you automatically get daily backups and world-class security. Get started now at Bluehost.com.
Want to be more active this summer? Sierra helps you save on everything from swimsuits to stand-up paddle boards, tennis rackets to fishing tackle. And if that doesn't float your boat, we also have pool floats. Sierra, let's get moving. To your local store, like now. Go!
So do you think the products that are, I guess, best known currently, they're all designed for consumers. Is there an option or a chance to also make a product that is more for artists and is better aimed at artists?
There are already products that are aiming at artists. Playform AI, for example, that is a platform that we developed back in 2019 before the current generation of AI text prompting generator. And that allows artists to train their own AI based on their own data without having to have any copyright issue, without having to be restrictive by text prompting or thinking through a text pipeline. So these platforms have been around. Now, I think the new generation of text-to-image platform are very popular because it's more facing consumers and it bring AI more easy, make it easier accessible to the masses who can just write a text and generate an image. But artists have been using AI the last 5 years, even before these platforms, and generating amazing things that have been exhibited in exhibitions and museums. And one thing I want to also mention, that the use of AI before in making art has been welcomed in the art market, in exhibitions, in galleries. But now, with this new generation of text-to-image generator, you have seen that there is a big debate about that. Many artists would start to ban AI images from their platform, like in Reddit and Discord and others. This issue was not there before. In the last 5 years, many artists have been using AI without a problem and has been welcomed because they have been using AI based on their own images, in their own data. It's a creative process. It's a conceptual art process. That also has been welcomed. But now, when you're dealing with a big model that have been trained on billion of images, and you just basically your job as an artist is to reverse engineer the system to generate an image by plugging certain keywords to manipulate the system, that's a very little creative process. The creativity here becomes really a reverse engineering process of the system, not really a visual thinking or a natural way for artists.
We've, I think, mostly today touched on AI and its ability to make images, but it's been proven to create, I guess, text, music, a bunch of different forms of art. Is there, in your eyes, a form of, I guess, digital creation that it would struggle to create or struggle to match humans in?
I think most of the content that we can digitize, whether it's text, music, images, videos, anything that we can digitize into digital format, AI can be trained to generate such content. Does that mean that AI is good at generating them? It can be, it can be not. Anything that require higher level of semantics, AI might struggle. For example, AI can create poetry, yes. You try ChatGPT and it can generate some nice poetry, but definitely the level of sophistication of these poems generated by AI is really very limited. Maybe better than me and you writing poems, but definitely when you read them, it's very naive. It's not really thoughtful. That's where human creativity is still surpass AI and will for a long time. Writing a novel, yes, AI can write a novel, but it will be nothing compared to a great novel by a great writer. Because one very important thing, AI, we have to realize, AI doesn't generate art. AI generates images, so when or music or notes, but not art. Making an image doesn't make you an artist. What makes an image an art is the artist behind the scene who used the AI to make that image. That's when it's called art. So there is a human behind the scene that will use this machine, that's this power, to generate images and iterate and keep going and select and curate from the outcome. This whole process is what art making is. The AI is just filling in one part of that, which is a tool that can generate these contents. The same thing applies when if you are a creative writer. Yes, you might use AI to write certain paragraphs for you, but at the end, you are the one who have the idea in your head. And you are the one that want to create this whole novel or this whole story. AI is going to be just a way to help you. One thing also I have to remember that what art is, obviously, art and literature are ways to communicate between people. At the end, they are communication between humans. So AI can generate things, but AI doesn't have a message to communicate. At the end, the message that it communicates comes again from the human behind the scene who write the novel or write the story or write the music or write the make the art.
And is there something that AI could learn to replicate? Can it learn to experience that creativity and that flair, or is it always going to just be replicating a prompt as accurately as it can and being used more as a tool for someone else's view of creativity?
I believe that the current generation of AI is limited to creating content that imitates human content at large and has to be controlled largely by human to create something useful. It can be a great tool, but it is not yet there where it can has its own conscience about the world. This is really a big issue. To be able to be an artist or a writer, you have to have a conscience about what's happening in the world, and you have an opinion about what's happening in the world, and your voice. And you use art and literature to communicate these ideas. AI doesn't have that. As long as AI doesn't have conscience, it cannot be an artist. This is basically as simple as that. It can be a great tool for artists to use, but I cannot call them an artist or a musician. A couple of years ago, we used AI in a project to generate Beethoven 10th Symphony. And by the way, this was using the same kind of language models that are used behind ChatGPT and others. So we trained this AI on lots of classical music prior to Beethoven and using Beethoven body of work. And then the AI looked at the sketches that Beethoven left for a 10th Symphony, and it tried to generate completions of these notes and harmonization and orchestration. And that project was a great example of how humans use AI in making something interesting. So at the end, AI was a tool in the process. The composer and the team tell it what to do. I tell it, here's couple of melodies, complete this for me. And then they take that and fit it into the movement where it fits. And then I trade back and go to the AI again and ask it to orchestrate certain pieces or combine certain pieces. So it was an elaborate process of back and forth between the human and the AI until that work is done. I see this as a great model of what's happening now in the world. Basically, everything happening now in terms of using AI is a cycle, a creative process that mainly human is in charge, and AI is following the rules to generate content for that human to fit into his project or her project.
In the future, do you think we're going to see AI developing in something that's, I guess, more advanced but less creative? So OpenAI was working on a project called Point E, which was a method of generating 3D shapes from prompts in the same way that ChatGPT or DALL-E works. Is there a room where we could, you know, start to see an AI generator that's creating full 3D environments or entire worlds that could be explored?
Yes, and this will be really the interesting thing to see, because these are tasks that are very time-consuming to generate a 3D environment in graphics for gaming or for virtual environment. It's very time-consuming to generate. And if we have the AI power and the machine power to generate that for us based on our instruction, that will be really great. Another example is when you're creating a video. When you create a video showing certain things, it takes a lot of time and effort to shoot these videos and edit it and montage it and do it as human. So any tool that can really create video clips for you showing what you want will be really great. All these massive tasks that human do and takes a lot of time for human, I think AI will play a big role in helping human doing that. But at the end, the creative process, the human is going to be like the creative director. And AI tools will be more of a kind of a people, it's not people, basically more of a slave, digital slaves working for that human to that creative director to create whatever they want, whether it's music or art or literature. And fortunately, the AI is not conscious, so having a digital slave in that sense is totally fine. It's not there's nothing unethical about that. In this, I think a good thing about that also it kind of make this possible, make it possible for artists who doesn't have the means to have a studio assistant or somebody to work with you in a workshop to have access to this technology, so they really can grow and do what they want. In the past, I mean, we have seen artists like Andy Warhol and others have big workshops of creators working for them and doing what they want. But an emerging artist doesn't have this ability. So you can use AI as an emerging artist to really help you create things at scale. And a couple of years ago, we did a study where we asked artists who used AI at the time, that was like 4 or 5 years ago when AI was very limited compared to what it is now, why they're using AI, what they found as a value of using AI. And we found that there are mainly two things artists like in AI. First thing is the fact it creates novel ideas that they didn't think about. The AI look at the world in different eyes from our human eyes and can give them new ideas. They like that very much. The other thing is the volume. The AI really can create lots and lots of assets and images for them that they can use in their projects. And this is something that takes a lot of time and they have to hire assistants sometimes to do that job. So the fact that this can be done very fast using AI is very valuable. So these are the two value propositions in using AI in the creative process. The fact it can give you new ideas out of the box, and that it can give you creative volume, lots of data. However, looking at what's happening now with text prompting as a way to generate, I think we are losing the first one. We are losing the fact that AI has been giving us ideas out of the box or out of ordinary, because now AI is constrained by our language. It look at the world from the lens of our own language. So we added a constraint that really limited the AI ability to be imaginative or be generating interesting concepts visually. However, that's very useful in other contexts, because if you are using AI to generate something linguistic, text, or something very structured like music, that's very important to have language in the process. So we have a long way to go in terms of how AI can fit the creative process for different artists. And what we see in art now is just still early stages of what is possible.
When you look back through history, you know, we've had a huge array of art movements throughout time, you know, Cubism, Impressionism, Realism, all these different stages throughout history. Is there, I guess, an argument that AI is simply the latest art movement, or is it something more than that?
I think in the last 5 years, we have seen this, and I think it ended already, where the early artists who have been using AI in the last 5 years, especially using GANs, have specific aesthetics in their work because of AI has been in what's called the canny valley. It creates these canny-looking images. And if you look at most of the art that has been generated by many artists in that period, it has this look, it has this style, it has this feeling and aesthetics. I think now AI becoming more photorealistic, very good at generating photorealistic images, very good at generating graphics, very good at imitating styles. And it lost this ability to be surprising and uncanny and have these surreal effects. So these last 5 years, some people even give it a name. I remember some people call it GANism, it is GAN. But I think this is gone. This is already as a period in our history of using technology in making art. It was a really amazing period, and it's already gone. Now it's AI is coming to become more of a tool for everybody to generate a photorealistic image, a graphic design, a logo. But it lost its unique aesthetics it used to have.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Instant Genius. That was Ahmed Elgamal talking about AI art. The Instant Genius podcast is brought to you by the team behind BBC Science Focus magazine, which you can find on sale now in supermarkets and newsagents, as well as on your preferred app store. Alternatively, you can come and find us online at sciencefocus.com.